Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anoush Zomorodi, sitting in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC Good Morning. And something like 90% of tech startups fail. So what does it take to be that one that makes it? My next guest, he oversees entrepreneurship initiatives at Columbia University. And just last week, he announced a hand-picked group of alumni startups to join their new incubator initiative, the Columbia Startup Lab. Richard Witten is head of Columbia Entrepreneurship and a special advisor to the president of Columbia University. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Good morning. It's my pleasure.
And also in the studio is Bob Coyne, co-founder of one of the selected startups, Word's Eye. Congratulations, Bob.
Well, thank you. Great to be here.
Now, from what I understand, it's a tool that generates 3D visual scenes based on natural language. Whoa, I don't even know what that means. We definitely want to hear more about that a little bit later. But first, listeners, are you a budding entrepreneur who's out there with questions for our guests? Or maybe you have experience with how the city supports tech entrepreneurs, or you think it doesn't. Our lines are open. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. So, Richard, before we get into the selection process, let's talk about the Columbia Startup Lab, because it is a fairly new venture for the university. What is it? How do you describe it?
It's a co-working space where small teams of young alumni who have collaborated with each other and created viable business models, we think, to that point, have the opportunity to work together in a very high-energy environment. We're subsidizing the rent for these alums to a very significant degree. And we're hoping that just the energy that they create by being with each other plus programming that we provide from the university will accelerate their efforts to build new ventures. I should point out that some of these ventures are for profit, obviously, but many are not. And they're focused on social enterprise and on creating ventures that are good for the world as well as good for the pocketbook.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but there were over 200 submissions. You narrowed them down to the list of 31 winning startups, 63 entrepreneurs in total. How did you decide? What were you looking for?
Well, there was a pretty robust selection process made up of folks from the School of Engineering, the college, our business school, and our School of International and Public Affairs. And one of the criteria was that these ideas, these ventures, were customer tested. So there was
they had to be at a certain point then.
They had to be at a certain point, and they had to have input from end users to make sure they weren't just pursuing a dream that didn't necessarily have any rooting in reality.
And how did you decide to, you know, in terms of which alumni get support? They have to be 1 to 5 years out of school, is that right?
Yes.
And why not recent students why not current students or long ago alumni?
Well, the current students are up on Morningside Heights, and they are, most of them are full-time students. And so we made a statement to ourselves that they probably were less in need of full-time occupational space. And we chose this group of alums, young alums, because we thought they were the ones that most needed the assistance from the university. There's an assumption there, obviously. But we thought if you were 5 years out or more, you probably had more traction and needed less this accelerating process.
Okay, so Bob, let's go to you. Word's Eye. What is Word's Eye? And I also have to ask, what year did you graduate?
Okay, so Word's Eye is a system that lets you create 3D scenes, so basically a picture, because just like in computer graphics and like Pixar and different movies, Toy Story, this is 3D graphics, but you render it as a picture. So Word's Eye lets you create that with language. So you can describe a scene, and it will create the scene for you. So you can type in, there's a cat on a table, it is green, and it will actually bring in a 3D object of a table, put a cat on it, and make it green. Then since it's 3D, you could rotate it in 3D space, look at it from any angle, and then you can give it a title, whatever you want to call it, and you could share it on social media. And so it's really great because 3D graphics is sort of this very powerful technology that's never really been utilized at the mass market. People play games, they watch movies, but it's only people at Pixar and so forth who can actually create the scenes. So this really gives it that power to everybody to be able to express yourself in an artistic, a creative way in a social media context.
And what are the expectations of you, Bob? Or maybe I should be asking Richard. I'm not sure. Do you need to turn Word's Eye into a multi-million dollar company in the next 5 years? Or are you setting goals for them, Richard?
No, not goals per se. We're asking that they show advancement during their period of stay at our accelerator or at our incubator. But we are hoping that they get too big and too sophisticated for us. So their lease is a year. They can reapply after that year is up. But we're hoping that after a year, they need more bodies. They've outgrown our space and they have sufficient financial gravitas that they can move on and really start to develop their business in a very aggressive way. We're not setting monetary goals, though.
Okay, if you're listening out there and you are a tech entrepreneur and you would love to have support like this, we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So, Bob, why do you think you were chosen then? Why do you need this? Why not move out to Silicon Valley or, you know, stay here in New York, which has its own thriving tech scene, go after some VC money? There are some people who would say, what are you talking about? You went to Columbia. You're set up.
Yeah, well, I think basically we were chosen, I think, because we're an example of some technology coming out of Columbia that sort of needs the business support and it needs the infrastructure that Columbia provides. So we were in the engineering school, and we entered this innovation entrepreneurship program where we connected with people in the business school and formed a team, developed a business plan, a market strategy, and so forth. So that's really been crucial. You can't just have a technology on its own. You need to make a full product. And that's what we've been developing over the past year and getting traction with angel investors and getting users, you know, sort of feedback from them and so forth. So really being part of the community has been a key part of it.
And presumably, Richard, that's why you are putting them at WeWork, which is a workspace, a communal workspace, which actually happens to be across the street from WNYC. You didn't want to keep them up at Columbia near the researchers, near the, I don't know, the business department or?
Well, we got a lot of feedback from young alums, and frankly, they didn't want to be up by Columbia. They wanted to be downtown, which is where a lot of the entrepreneurship and technology energy is. And we view the entire city of New York as our campus, and that's why we thought this was, and I firmly believe is, just an electric spot for our community.
Do you think that this might be the future of how universities help their alums? Presumably, you're going to start doing this every year, or are you going to wait and see how this one goes?
No. We've made a long-term commitment to both WeWork and to our community. Most likely, we'll use the results of this year, and I'm assuming it'll go very well. We'll expand, so we'll go from 71 seats, which is our target, to a larger number because the demand is clearly there.
Okay, so we're going to take some calls now. Who should I go to first, guys? Is that Thomas from New Jersey? Are you there?
How are you doing?
Hi, how are you, Thomas? What do you think about these? Are you a tech entrepreneur?
Yes, I created a website and I have a program that I'm trying to start. And my question was, what do you have available that is for those people that are not Columbia alumni?
Okay, great question. So, Richard, you know, there's a lot of people out there with a lot of great ideas. What do you say to them if they're not as lucky to be an alum of Columbia?
So we are clearly focusing this on our community. There are 15 million people in the city of New York, and that's just too much for us to really offer to that whole community. So we focused on our alumni. I believe that there are any number of other incubators in the city. WeWork, I believe, has 9 or 10 locations in Manhattan. There are others as well. I'm sorry to tell you we can't help you in terms of subsidizing the rent, but there are plenty of resources here and growing every day.
Okay, we're going to go to Joe in Greenwich Village. Joe, you are on the line.
Hi, Mamush. How are you?
Good, thanks.
So I was looking into starting a mobile app with a couple of friends. I'm a law student. And we wanted to set it up in New York, but the LLC law in New York requires publication into esoteric newspapers that, cost somewhere upwards of, I think, like $2,000. And we were just inundated with mailers from companies that you know, offer our middlemen to get this publication requirement satisfied. And I'm fearing that those are the companies that are pressuring the legislature not to do away with this requirement that I think is only in two other states in the U.S.
Richard, what do you know about that?
First question is, why set up your LLC in New York? Why not use Delaware?
Yeah, everybody does Delaware, right? Because it has the least requirements.
And the second question is, you know, you don't need the LLC till you really have revenue or until you're really ready to start accepting capital.
I don't see those as counter arguments to why the requirement should be there in the first place. Whether or not when you want to set up your LLC shouldn't be dependent on whether the state has a requirement. That seems just
Well, that's a whole nother issue. Yeah. Yep, yeah. Joe, you're making a good point here. I think you're.
But I do think it impedes businesses from setting up in New York City, especially new startups with young people who are not experienced in corporate law.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you talk to anybody, maybe that's the good side of being in a place like WeWork. You can go get a cup of coffee and talk to someone and say, hey, man, how'd you set up your LLC? And you can be like, Delaware is the place. And it might make you feel sort of annoyed, but at least you would be moving on with your company. Okay, so we have got caller one, I believe, are you on the line there? Is that Nobles in Manhattan?
Hi, yes. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks for your time.
Wow, people actually say that. I love it.
So I have a startup called Peace Out. We do live webcams in bars and restaurants. So before you go out, you can see the vibe, delightfully anonymous. But one of the things I want to contribute to the conversation in terms of the value to New York City for startups here as opposed to anywhere else in the country. Austin has a pretty hot market right now. San Francisco is really the community and the people that you have to be in New York to be able to make it. And I think that adds a level of hustle to people that make startups in New York City, especially utilitarian apps. And I really think that from a reverberation standpoint in society, I think that, you know, a lot of the tech companies coming out of here right now really are in a position to make that change for free communication throughout the world. And you know, I'm really glad that we're all in this together and that we're here.
Cool.
Thanks
Noble,
for your time.
Good luck to you. So what do you think, Bob? We're just cooler and that's why you decided to stay?
Yeah, well, I think New York is basically – it's changing a lot. It's becoming much more entrepreneurial in terms of the number of startups and the energy that it has. And because it's so dense and you just run into people all the time. So I think – it's really becoming a real hotbed for entrepreneurship and startups. I wouldn't really want to go anywhere else.
Okay, quick last word from you, Richard. How will you know if this program has succeeded?
Partly we'll watch these businesses grow, and then we'll watch them scale to become relevant and important. But even we will consider this to be a success if the demand stays high and the cleverness and the creativity of these businesses continues to be broad and robust, because failing is part of succeeding in this field as much as any place else, probably more than any other field. So failure is a good thing. Just the phrase is fail fast. And we're going to judge our metrics based upon that as well.
Okay, we have to leave it there. I've been speaking with the head of Columbia Entrepreneurship, Richard Witten, and Word's Eye co-founder, Bob Coyne. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, and I'll see you around the hood, right?
You bet. Yep.
Okay. It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, sitting in for Brian. And speaking of tech, join me at an event that I'm hosting on May 13th here at WNYC in the Green Space. It is all about robots and artificial intelligence, AI. We're going to meet a self-aware robot, a robot that does experiments, even a robot that makes jokes. It's going to be weird. It's going to be educational. And there will be a bar, May 13th. Get your tickets at wnyc.org/thegreenspace.